And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, one of the things I love about the Old Testament of the Bible is it shows us the example of courageous men, bold men, men who simply said, this is what I am going to do, and I will not divert from this path. I'm convinced that God likes such men. In fact, that is exactly the personality trait that we find in God himself. And in the book of Daniel, it says that certain things are determined by God in advance. Determined. Friends, you can't change them. They're going to happen. They've been determined in advance. Jesus said, behold, I have told you before. Let's get back to this courage thing, though, on the part of men. You know, I once read of Mother Shipton back in the 19th century. Some said she was a prophetess of God, of Christian. She said that at one time, ships were made of wood and men of iron. But unfortunately, today, the ships are made of steel and iron, and it seems that the hearts of men are made with wood. But I have a man today, a guest, from France, but he's an American. He lives in France with his precious wife. And he has a radio program called, of all things, The French Connection. And I'm going to be asking him about that radio program and how you can listen to his radio program. And you can get it, by the way, on the internet with perfect clarity. Go to his website, and I'll be giving you that information, too. But I found out about this gentleman by going to his website, and I've been very privileged to be a guest on his radio program. And he's one of those men who are made of steel and not wood. The Bible, one of the Old Testament prophets, talked about setting his face like flint. That means straightforward. In my newsletter this month, I discuss Gog and Magog in the Bible. Now, I'm not going to get into that. That's a very wonderful subject. But it's interesting that Ezekiel was told by God, son of man, set thy face against Gog of the land of Magog. Set your face against him. Isn't that astonishing? So many people today say we need to compromise, we need to get along. I had a friend this very weekend tell me, he said, Tex, you really need to bend over backwards to let the Jews know that you love them and to let everybody know you're not prejudiced and you're not bigoted. He said, I know you're not, but a lot of people don't know that, and they're afraid you might be anti-Semitic because of the things you expose. And you really need to bend over backwards to assure people. And then I went back to the Bible, to Ezekiel 38, and it says, son of man, set thy face against Gog of the land of Magog and tell him that I, the Lord God, am also against him. You know, God never told us to compromise, to be weak mouthed. He simply said, go out and tell the truth. And of course, the vast majority of people will say, no, I'm not going to believe that. But when has the majority ever changed anything? Anyway, well, today I have a good guest on for you, a man who is of courage. His name is Daryl Bradford Smith. And we're going to be talking about an interesting subject today, the slithering journey of the Ouroboros serpent. You know, back in 1915, and it's in my book, Codex Magica, many of the Jews, and they used to do this, and they've sort of covered it up now, they would send New Year's greetings to each other, and there would be a picture of a serpent, a huge serpent, the Ouroboros, and he would be encircling the whole globe, and they would say, have a happy and prosperous New Year. They send it to each other. How would you like to get a New Year's Day card in the mail or from a friend that has a picture of a gigantic serpent, a slithering serpent called the Ouroboros, and he's wrapped around the whole world, and somebody says, have a prosperous new year. The intent of that, of course, was that these Jews believe that their God, not Jesus Christ, but their God is going to give them the power to be the serpent, and they will slither on a path. They've got a path chosen around the whole world. Even the protocols of the learned elders of Zion talks about the path of the serpent. The serpent's journey as he gobbles up this territory and very cunning. And if you'll remember, Jesus himself said the enemy is like a serpent and is very wise in the ways of the world. Well, Daryl Bradford Smith knows a lot about this serpent and the journey he's been taking. He's a historian. His website will give you a lot of articles. He's a good friend, by the way, of Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, who wrote The Synagogue of Satan. Hey, Daryl, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
It's great to be with you here today, Tex. You know, we speak privately often, and it's wonderful to hear this opportunity to speak to your listeners, because we're at a very important crossroads here in the history of the human family, and I don't think there's any time to waste. So I'm here fighting to get this information to as many people as I possibly can in the shortest amount of time that I can. And your program is one of those avenues for me to do that. And I'm very grateful for your invitation onto this program.
Well, you know, here we're talking about this huge serpent, and you're right in the mouth of it there in France. And I know you, even before we began the program today, you and I were chatting just a few minutes. You were talking about the president of France now, Sarkozy, and he's Jewish, and he promotes the Zionist agenda all the way. You know, going back to this man of steel versus man of wood, do you feel threatened at all being at the very mouth of this serpent?
Well, here in France, you know, the public has been victimized by Zionist-controlled government for over 100 years. They have a strong communist movement here, and so they've put into place control points throughout the society that make it very difficult for anybody to rise up economically, rise up in the media without the explicit consent of the controllers. Now, our press over here in France, all the major networks owned by people from the Ashkenazi Jewish Zionist community, and all of the press as well is owned by the same group. And you never can get your side of the story told. And in fact, if you try to tell that story, they twist it and make you look like a racist. And as a result of the way they twist it, they bring charges against you because I'm living in a hate crimes country. So I'd like to say from the onset here, as you pointed out, not all Jews are involved in this. There is a specific group within the Ashkenazi, Khazarian Jewish community that is propagating these crimes across the world, have been for centuries, and it's easy now that I've done the research to track their crimes. I mean, I've looked back in history for a couple of hundred years, and if you recall the Rothschild timeline, that was co-authored by myself along with Andrew Hitchcock. He called himself Anonymous Andy back then. He and I both put that thing together. It turned, of course, into a book for him, and I couldn't be happier for him, and I understand that book has done quite well on your website.
Well, you know, it certainly awakened many people to the historical timeline of the Rothschilds and the other factions and, you know, what has happened both in in the United States. But it seems that Europe really has been infected, because theirs were, you know, the five Rothschilds. They call them the five eras in France, in Britain, and so forth. And even today there's that influence. But it's bigger than even the Rothschilds, isn't it?
Yes, well, we've got the Oppenheimer family, we've got the Warburg family, we have the Schiff family, we have the Honig family, we have the Goldsmith family, we have Murano Jews, who are traditionally crypto Jews, meaning that they portend Jewish, non-Jewish involvement, but yet behind the closed doors of their home, they're actually Jewish. That is the case for Mr. Sarkozy, who claims to be a Christian, but his grandfather was the lead, one of the leading members of the Jews who took over the caliphate of the Ottoman Empire back a century ago, and his roots go into the Zionist crimes as deeply as anybody who on earth. I mean, this man is as connected as a Rothschild. And in fact, recently he's been taking vacations on large yachts that Rothschild has paid for. In fact, when he visited America to have a powwow with George Bush, the house he was staying in was paid for by Rothschild at $60,000 a week. Now, he just got married recently to another Jewess, and she's a very well-connected Italian in the Italian side of this. But one of the things that's going on here in Europe, people believe that America runs the world. Well, the real money and the real shakers and movers behind world Zionism have always been in Europe, and they've always remained here. You'll notice that the names, when you talk about Zionism in America, in let's say in our government, like the Kagans, Donald and his son, the two Kagans, or Ledeen, or Wormser, or Wolfowitz, or Pearl, or Faith, or Scooter Libby. All of these Jews are really foot soldiers for the crime network. When you get higher than them, the intermediary between that are people like Scowcroft, like Schultz, like Kissinger. These are the people who stay out of the limelight, but what they do is they are in-between men for the real controllers here in Europe. You'll also notice people like Rahm Emanuel running the Democrat Party. He stays out of the press pretty much, but he's also a very high-level go-between between these big criminals. Also, a guy named Melman in the Republican Party has the same role as what's his name, as the... my point is this, is that there are different levels to these people's hierarchy, and the top of that hierarchy still resides here in Europe for the most part.
Okay, now, we do have, you know, families, the Reichmanns in Canada, the Bronfmans, yeah, so there's, boy, it is an astonishing thing. Now, you have groups over in Europe. The Grand Orient Lodge in Paris. You have the Bilderberg group that seems to have really it's the locus is, like as you said, in Europe. Yet they invite a certain number of Americans, but we're the minority. Now, are these groups pretty well superintended also by Jews?
Well, those groups are really management organs of this group. They're not principal movers and shakers. What they did is they figured out back in the days of Weishaupt with the Illuminati, what they needed to do is go across the world and build organizations that would put their tentacles into society, and then each organization would become, within their own realm, an autonomous organization that would micromanage the things they were interested in. For example, the American Medical Association is controlled by these people. But they do that through their Rockefeller Institute. The education system in the United States is controlled, but they do that through their Carnegie Mellon organ. Their political geopolitics is controlled through the Round Table in Britain, as well as the Bilderberg and the Council on Foreign Relations. But in each instance, these are just subordinate groups to this 300 or so people sitting at the very top. And so when you talk about Bilderberg and Zionism in the same sentence, you must understand that Zionism at its control point is a very small group, and it is mostly in here in Europe. In fact, Israel, none of these controllers, these people running the world, live over there. Israel is like the criminal gang center for these people, and they run their Shin Bet out of there, they run their Mossad operations out of there, but none of these people live there. So you have to understand the hierarchy here and the control that goes all the way to the top, and it is a very small group, and like I said, Bilderberg and the rest of these organizations are subordinate to this group.
Now, you know, you mentioned that none of the super rich Jewish dynasties want to live in Israel, but they still it's almost, you know, like I've heard of this Mother of Darkness castle in Brussels, Belgium, and many of the elite meet there and have their satanic, you know, rituals and so forth. So Israel must be sort of a supernatural black magic world center that gives them the power, you know, almost like all the the old saying, all roads lead to Rome. Well, I wonder if all of the occult ley lines lead to Jerusalem.
Well, in my view, and I've described it as this in talks I've given, it's kind of like, if you know your American history, the hole in the wall gang. You remember the area in Missouri when the bank robbers would go out and steal in Texas. They'd run back to Missouri and to their little valley where the hole in the wall gang, the hole in the wall place was, where they felt safe. The whole valley was populated by criminals.
Oh yeah.
Well, the Israel is the hole in the wall gang of the world. They have no treaties with other countries. They have no laws that will ever go up against a Jew that commits a crime in any Western nation, or any nation for that matter. The good example of that is a man gets caught from the working in the Israeli government in Argentina. He's taking children and giving photographs of children and pedophilia and whatnot. He gets caught. And they ship him back to Israel. And, of course, the Argentinians were furious. They said, we want this guy in court. He's raped children. He's got photographs of all kinds of Argentine children here. We want him back in this country. Well, of course, Israel said no, and he's been protected. But this is not an isolated story. These people have done this hundreds of times, if not more.
And Oh, yeah. I'm reading reports. I remember there was a young man who raped and killed a neighbor, a young girl. And, boy, his family just paid his way to Israel. And now Israel refuses to, you know, extradite him back to the United States. You know, one of the most famous, infamous cases, I think, is that Shlomo Morel, who was commandant in Poland of one of the concentration camps, so-called, that The communists took over from the Germans, and the communists put the Jews in Poland in charge of this concentration camp, and they brought in innocent Germans, men, women, and children, populated this concentration camp. Shlomo Morel beat, killed, raped, tortured innocent Germans for several years. And he's the Polish authorities have indicted him, and he's hiding out in Israel. I mean, talk about Ivan the Terrible and Mengele and everything. Here's Shlomo Morel, one of the butchers of post-World War II, and the Jews are hiding him out in Israel.
Well, that's not unique, as I just mentioned, and you've got I've got dozens of other examples. One of the things that I know you've been working on over time, Tex. And this goes into that idea that they're encircling the globe. Their idea was to take over the main political control over the main groups in the Western world, including the periphery groups such as the Caliphate in Turkey. Now, that was the Ottoman Empire, and Nicolas Sarkozy's family, again, was instrumental through the Orient Lodge of Paris. And then the Orient Lodge of Paris opened up a branch. See, one Orient Lodge cannot open a new lodge unless it's been ceded by the main lodge. Now, the main lodge of this group was in Paris, and they ceded an Italian lodge. From the Italian lodge, a group lodge was built in Greece called Salonika Greece. That was the jumping-off point for people such as Jabotinsky, Carasso, and many others, so even including Vladimir Lenin, which he was also very involved in the Turkish implosion as well. The point being that the Young Turk movement in the Ottoman takeover was a Jewish movement. Now, how did they get away with it? They claimed to be Muslims. And this brings forth forward a very important concept that everybody needs to understand of crypto-Zionism, crypto-Jewish. Again, Americans have plenty of crypto-Jews, Madeleine Albright, Wesley Clark, John Kerry, Howard Dean, Richardson over in south he's a Marano over in New Mexico. We can go across the country, and there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of crypto Jews in public office in the United States. They've taken on names such as John Kerry did, an Irish name. The man has no Irish in him. His name is really Khan, and he's related to the Forbes fortune. My point is this. They used this same tactic in Russia. All the Russian Jews changed their names to reflect a local-sounding name to themselves and placed themselves in control of the Bolsheviks. This is a standard MO of this group, and we see it over and over again. So when you're looking through this group, you really need to be broader in your observations. You just cannot say, oh, well, he's a Christian, he couldn't be involved. Because the fact of the matter is they have no qualms about claiming Christianity but actually being Jewish and actually acting on the best interests of this Zionist crime wave.
You know, that is a remarkable thing. I recall George Tenet, T-E-N-E-T, who was director of the CIA and who cooperated with Bush in lying about Iraq and arranging the Iraqi war and claiming, you know, the weapons of mass destruction, all that baloney, were in Iraq. Tenet evidently has a name of Cohen himself. And boy, when I exposed that and said George Tenet is not George Tenet, but he's actually a Cohen, I got people that wrote to me and said, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. I read his official biography. He's a Greek Orthodox, a member of the Greek Orthodox Church. You don't know what you're talking about, Tex. And, you know, sometimes you just have to, you know, say, my goodness, people just don't understand. Of course, you know, Hillary Clinton, when it finally became to her political advantage, she had an interview with the New Yorker magazine and bragged about when she was running for senator because she wanted the Jewish money and Jewish support in New York. And suddenly she, you know, this little supposedly Methodist girl from a suburb in Chicago, suddenly Hillary says, well, you know, my grandmother was Jewish and we talked Yiddish around the house all the time. And so there you go. You know, Hillary is a Jew. And it is an astonishing thing, this crypto Jew. But it makes sense. Now, nobody, I'm not interested in covering up my ethnic background. I mean, if anybody says, hey, you know, where do your folks come from? Because in America, I don't know about France, but Daryl, here in America, you know, it's sort of a prideful thing if you're Irish or Scottish or, hey, it doesn't, you know, and really doesn't bother me any. So they must be doing something sinister or they wouldn't want to cover this up. Because obviously no one discriminates against Jews in America. In fact, if you are, I found out, for example, when I first began writing books many years ago, I used to have a company called Technology Trends. And we wrote and published books on high technology. And I found in working with all the New York publishers that, you know, my last name is Mars. Now, actually, that comes from Scotland. But a few of the Jews, and they run the publishing industry in New York, there is a Myers, right?
Yes.
And it's not Mars, but it's Myers. And a few of them thought I was Jewish. And I remember with this editor I was talking with one time, editor-in-chief for Stein and Day, one of the largest publishing houses at that time, says, well, just between, you know, us Jews, Tex, and I, what? And, you know, he started telling me about, you know, how to, you know, do a certain thing in publishing. And, you know, I was trying to figure out why he thought I was Jewish. And then later I said, well, you know, the name Mars actually comes from Mar, M-A-R-R, in Scotland. You know how they would then say the Mars, and then they would add the S on it when it came to America. But he thought I was Jewish, and as long as I was Jewish, They were going to do favors for me at that publishing house. Isn't that an astonishing thing?
Well, you know, here's one of the interesting facts that most people are not aware of, and I know you are. This group is a convert. They're proselytized Jews. They're not Jews from the Holy Land. Their roots don't go back to the Holy Land. You're aware of the book called The 13th Tribe, what that author Kessler, a Jew himself, researched. The fact is that they come from an area on the Russian steppes in the Kiev, south of Kiev region near Georgia, present-day Georgia and present-day Armenia, called Khazaria. And some in 760, they converted under the command of their king, the Kagan. Now, this group was forced out of their homeland. And they were forced into an area of Hungary and all up into Poland. They had to move west to save themselves. And this is the roots. They ghettoized themselves. The elites fed off of these ghettoized communities of Ashkenazi Jews. And this is where their crime wave sprung from. Now, they don't have roots back to Semitic peoples. They are not Semitic blood. And interesting that they adopted the most virulent form of Judaism called the Zohar and the Kabbalistic form. Now, what people in the Jewish, I mean the Christian community need to understand about this virulent form text is that the Jews in this form believe that if they do evil in the world, they're actually doing God's work because in their view, everything that happens on the earth is of God. And so if they do evil, they're doing the left-hand work of God. And if they do righteous things, they're doing the right-hand work of God. What it is, essentially, is a justification, a rationalization of crime for these people. And, of course, they've made Christianity their ultimate enemy. So, of course, they always do their dirty, dastardly left-hand work against Christian institutions, Christian countries, and Christian morals. And you'll find the most of the attacks in our country, outside of physical, but what I'm talking about is both political and moral, have been against Christian values. Of course, you know, the rise of pornography, the use of sex slave children, exploitation of workers, all of these, usury. These are all things that Christians throughout the millennia have found abhorrent. And so when they do these things, Tex, they're actually being righteous in their own community because they're actually destroying their enemy, Amalek, or the Christian community. But they're not originally Jews. These are people who adopted the most virulent form of that religion.
Wow. So in other words, the more evil you do, the more blessed you will become. And eventually then you sort of, I guess if you finally reach equilibrium, which, of course, you know, even the Freemasons say is one of their 33rd degree goals. You balance off the good and the evil, but you must partake of all the evil in the world that you can, you know, become to become a divinized individual then.
Well, I think there's some sort of meritocracy involved in their group, too. I mean, you know, if one of these people, I mentioned this in another program I did, and so I'll repeat it because I think it was effective. If you're a nice, you know, likable Jewish fella that, or lady that does nice things in the world, you're not sought after as one of their workers. You don't get selected to move up the ladder of crime.
But, Daryl, I'll tell you what. Hold on just a minute. We're going to have to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to pick that up right away. And I want to go back to Salonika, Greece and Turkey and Russia and even the future, what's going to happen now in the United States and Europe with this Zionist revolution? Where are we headed? Economic meltdown, World War III? I'm going to ask you some hot questions, and I know you're able to answer them. Folks, you're listening to Power of Prophecy. My guest today is Daryl Bradford Smith from France, and we'll be right back after this brief message. This is Tex Mars again. You know, it's great to be with you each week and to introduce a guest that has something very important to say, like Daryl Bradford Smith. We're exposing Zionism today, and we're exposing really what is a conspiracy and plot to destroy righteousness, to destroy all the good things in the world and to bring forth evil on this planet. Well, that's what Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's book does. Synagogue of Satan. Synagogue of Satan. You know, when we published this book for Mr. Hitchcock, some people said, oh, you don't want to call it the Synagogue of Satan because that's a scary title. But hey, that's what the book of Revelation in the Bible warns about in the last days. The Synagogue of Satan, Revelation 2, verse 9, Revelation 3, verse 9. The Bible, interestingly enough, doesn't talk about Muslims or Buddhists. It warns about the Synagogue of Satan. Well, if God wants you to know about the Synagogue of Satan, then I'm glad that people like Mr. Smith are on the air to warn you about it. And this book by Hitchcock. Now, let me tell you about the book. It's 320 pages in length. Again, the title, The Synagogue of Satan. The subtitle is The Zionist or Jewish Quest for World Domination. It's $20, just $20 for a book of over 300 pages. And please add $4 shipping and handling. So a total of $24 postpaid. And just send that to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Jerry, my broadcast engineer here, we've been here, what, almost 12 years now, I think, at this address. Almost 12 years here on Patterson Road, and boy, they've tried to stop us every which way they could, from the FBI to the IRS, but God has really protected us. So, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Of course, if in the United States and Canada, call us and order the book, The Synagogue of Satan, $24 postpaid. Just phone toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. And if you're internet literate, and so many people are, well, powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. We have a sister website, conspiracyworld.com. You can also go on, and right there on the home page will be a copy of that book. Order it. I know you'll be blessed by The Synagogue of Satan. Very, very wonderful book telling you about these things. Now, let's return to our regular program. Again, I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy going around the world on Worldwide Christian Radio, WWCR out of Nashville, Tennessee, but heard around the globe and, of course, on audio streaming 24/7 on powerofprophecy.com with perfect clarity. Well, Daryl Bradford Smith, welcome back to Power of Prophecy.
Great to be back for the second half. Got lots of information for the listeners, and I hope the first half of it's been an education for them. Lots more to tell them, Tex. You know, there's books on my website. I've got over 11 complete books, PDF file books, where they can learn about Zionism through names such as Nestor Webster, about Douglas Reed. How about Henry Ford wrote 22 volumes on the Zionist criminal gang? Just a wealth of information, including the audio file from Benjamin Friedman, who himself a Jew, who participated in the in some of the crimes of the last century, but then said that what he was doing was wrong, and he turned on these people and told the truth. And what he ended up doing is converting to Christianity and fighting the rest of his life to get this crime gang stopped. Now, he spent $4 million of his own money to do it. And you can hear what he had to say back in the 1960s at a Willard Hotel meeting, and it will shock you. Mm. Now, what it tells me, Tex, is this, that we have for a long time known about this conspiracy, but it isn't until recently that we've had an opportunity to really stop them. And we need the listeners out there who are going to pay attention to this information to do more than just be listeners. They need to start telling others about this information, Tex.
Okay, now, I want people to know about your internet address and your radio show. So would you Would you be kind enough? Now, how can people get on the website? I've got on the website several times just recently, and boy, it's packed with information. So people want to know about this. It's almost nowhere in the world, but they go on the internet. What do they do?
Well, they just IamTheWitness.com. IamTheWitness, all one word, .com is the website, and at the top you will see The French Connection, which is the radio show that I have been doing. There are over 700 hours of files done on subjects of Zionism. I've had people on my show such as Ralph Nader. I've had Mahathir Muhammad. I've had the ex second in charge of the United Nations who quit in disgust after watching what these criminals were doing to the Iraqi people. He quit his job after 27 years. He's been on four times. I've had you on my program. I've had everybody that is important in this battle to discuss these facts. And in each instance, what they do is bring a little of their own knowledge and their own experience, as you did when you came on the show. And this is a complete story. And I urge everybody to take this as serious as if your life depended on it, because frankly, your eternal life probably does if you're a Christian. And if you're just somebody like myself, the world is melting down around our ears, ladies and gentlemen, and we need to stop this mess.
Okay,
our financial system, our morals, I mean, if there is not a place on this planet, you cannot see things getting worse. We are in a big mess, and it requires your dedication and your interest to stop it.
IamTheWitness.com. Hey, that's pretty easy to remember. IamTheWitness.com, and they can listen to The French Connection right there on that home page. Now, last week, or actually maybe this week, I guess you could say, you had a very interesting guest, Sophia, a very intelligent lady and researcher, on 9/11 mysteries. 9/11 mysteries, and man, there is a Zionist connection to the 9/11 massacre, right?
There is. Not only is there a connection, we have deported Israelis that day that got caught. We have Israelis dressed up as Arabs carrying box cutters filming the implosion and celebrating the implosion of the World Trade Centers. We have the Odigo messaging service. We have people involved in the cover-up of this, such as Chertoff, a dual citizen Israeli. We have short contracts in the financial markets that were originated in Israel. We have people discussing the in advance of 9/11 these facts. So we have Jews such as Silverstein, an ex owner of a strip club and a Runway 69 and a pornographer who benefited from this. So when you take a look at the Israeli involvement in this, it's almost everything that was going on, including Dov Zolkaim, our ex-controller general of the Pentagon, whose business it was to build remote control systems for jet planes.
And he was a comptroller.
He was the comptroller of the Pentagon's books, and under him, $2.3 trillion went missing in the Pentagon. Now,
where do you think that money is? $2.3 trillion missing, and that Mr. Zolkaim, this Zionist rabbi, was actually the comptroller at the Pentagon. In other words, in charge of all the money. Where do you think that money is, Daryl?
Well, I would guess that it went into military equipment and so forth for the Israeli army and military forces, and including paying off their debt. Did you know that while America sinks financially, there was a report in Haaretz newspaper that said Israel's finances are in the best condition they've ever been in. So. But this same man was also a chief executive in a business that built remote-controlled equipment for large aircraft. And it is believed that those aircraft that hit those towers were flown by remote control. So when you take a look at the facts around 9/11 and you take a look at who benefited, Key Bono, it goes back to Israel, because to get rid of the enemies of Israel around it was what they had as a goal from the beginning, including the next stage, which they're trying to get underway now in Iran. It's always Israel that's benefiting from this, and it's Israelis that are involved in it, and that's a fact. The Shin Bet, which is an elite force of criminals within Israel's military was involved, as well as the Mossad. So, but they, you know, they've got their tentacles in every country in the world, and Turkey, as we talked about earlier, Tex, and I will go back to that, Turkey has been a puppet nation of the Israelis since they fell to the Young Turk Zionist conspiracy back in the turn of the last century. Now, that shifted the politics in both Asia Minor and the Middle East so that it would permit Rothschild to send his population out of Eastern Europe and Germany into the Holy Land and steal the land of the Palestinians and begin the idea of Israel. So the whole thing fit together like a puzzle piece. And once you see the facts, you know you're reading the facts when you see it. You finally here's the rub here, Tex. Once you learn this stuff, it all makes sense.
Then you understand world history and you understand the headlines every day. Now I want to ask you specifically about Turkey. You on the other side of the program in the first half, you mentioned how these closet Jews coming from the Masonic Lodge at Salonika, Greece, they were able to take control of the great Ottoman Empire in Turkey. They were called the Young Turks. Now, they disguised themselves, from what you're saying, and absolutely true, as Turks. They took over the money. They took over the government. Now, I'm just proposing something to you, and I want to ask your opinion on this, Daryl. If they took over the Turkish Empire, that was really almost the Holy See, you might say, like the Vatican for the Catholics. For the Muslim world, this was it. This was the headquarters of Islam, and the Jews began to run the whole thing.
That's right.
This has some incredible implications for the world today. Maybe people like Osama bin Laden, maybe the Kurds, maybe even Turkey today is continuing to be run by crypto-Jews pretending to be Muslims.
Well, it's not direct. As far as my research has showed me, they're not actually sitting at the top seats of power. They're the controllers behind the scenes, much like they are in many nations. But here's the interesting thing about bin Laden. Bin Laden's mother was a Yemeni, in Yemen, a Yemeni Jew. The bin Laden family has Jewish roots.
Mm.
The king of Saudi Arabia has a Jewish beginnings. That's why you'll never see the Saudi Arabians stopping anything the Israelis do. You'll notice that Gaddafi recently turned back to be an ally of the West. Well, Gaddafi's whole regime is controlled by Freemasonry Jewish influences out of places such as Amman, Jordan, which, again, the Jordanians have never really done anything against Israel. The truth is, as you start taking a look at these facts, what you come to the conclusion, as I have, as anybody who looks at it has, is that they want Islam to appear to be the enemy of mankind, when behind the scenes it is they who are trying to foment murder. Now, you'll get some good examples of this in the Levant Affair back in the 1950s, when Nasser was the president of Egypt. He was not a Zionist puppet. And what they needed to do is to turn the world against Nasser. And so how they did it was they decided they were going to put some, they were going to have a terrorist event, and they were going to blame it on Islam. Well, what happened was they attacked these installations of Western America. They killed Americans, but what they did is they got caught. And when they got caught, it was discovered that they were actually Jews posing as Arabs. Now, does that sound familiar to you? Let's go forward. How about the attack on the USS Liberty? How about Abu Nidal being a Mossad agent, and the attacks at the in front of the world at the 1972 Olympics was a staged attack by Israel to gain world sympathy. saying that, oh, look how terrible it is, we've been attacked. Abu Nidal on the Achille Lauro, when he threw that man Klinghoffer down the stairs. Oh, how terrible it is that they've been attacked once again. This man worked for the Mossad. He was a Mossad agent for decades. So when you take a look at what they're willing to do through deception and you find out the real truth, what you find out is you've been had. And you've been giving your allegiance to a country based on false history. Now, once you clear up those falsehoods, you find out that this group is, in fact, one of the most sinister groups in human history, if not the.
Okay, now, when they took over, I want to talk to you about two incidents. In the early 20th century, when they took over Turkey, they immediately instituted a horrible genocide. That's the Jews, crypto-Jews, disguised as Muslims there in Turkey. And they instituted this horrible genocide against Christians in Armenia. And then the same group of these Grand Orient Lodge Jews that had taken over Turkey also took over Russia about the same time and instituted communism there. And then they began a pogrom of horror against the Christians throughout the Russian Empire, which became the USSR. So wherever they have been able as crypto Jews to take control of a country, they then instituted horrible pogroms against Christians, and Christians thought it was the Muslim Turks and thought it was the Russians doing it in Russia. I mean, how diabolical can you get? Am I correct in saying these things, Daryl?
Well, yes, and with the Armenians, there's a history here. So let's go back to what I said in the first part of this interview. Back in 760, to the south of the Khazarian Empire was Armenia. They were the leading edge of resistance against Khazaria. They were Christians. If you note through your history books that the Armenian Church, the Armenian Orthodox Christian Church, is the oldest Christian church in the world. And the fact of the matter is, the Armenians were very well educated. They were renowned for their management skills and for their service to different kings and royalty around the world. If you wanted the best accountant, you would get an Armenian to be your accountant. Well, this was a group that the Zionist Jews knew they had to get rid of. One, for reasons of hatred historically, because the Khazarians always hated them. And two, because they would be competing against the Armenians in that area for the top jobs. So what they did was they killed off, they started fomenting lies and false terror attacks in Turkey, and they told the caliph, that it was in fact Armenians that were trying to rebel. Now, these were all staged events, staged terrorist attacks. Because these Zionists, the crypto-Zionists, had the ear of the caliphate, they were telling him in his closed doors that it was in fact Armenian separatists trying to destroy his empire, when in fact it was them doing it. As soon as they got complete control over the Turkish Ottomans, they told the caliphate that he had to invade in order to save his empire, had to invade the Armenians, which he did. But he did it because he believed a lie. And when he invaded, they slaughtered, on behalf of the Jews, the Turkish army marched into the Armenian region and slaughtered the Armenians, thinking the whole time that they were trying to destroy the Ottoman Empire. And in fact, it was a lie. And so you'll find that they use deception and lies better than any group in human history, and there are countless examples of them doing it, even up until today, with 9/11. The lies that were told about World War II and World War I were all based upon Zionists benefiting in the end and their enemies being destroyed as a result. You can see it consistently and constantly through history. The books that are on my site, one of them is by a man named Andrei Dyke. He was a Russian historian who told about the Bolsheviks coming in from New York and taking over the top parts of government after the 1917 Bolshevik Revolution. Once they were ensconced in power, They removed all native Russians, and they put their own people in charge. And as far as Dyche could do the research, he found that upwards of 85% of all the leading jobs within this government of Soviet Russia were Jews. You'll also notice that the people who suffered under Stalin and under the pogroms that happened in the Russian steppes, again, right where Khazaria was in Kiev area in Ukraine, were also Christians. He killed as many as 30 million through starvation. He destroyed their ability to feed themselves, and then when he went down there with his armies, he confiscated their grain so that they would starve to death. And what happened after the 1920 period into 1935, 30 million people around that whole region starved literally to death, to the point where people were eating dead bodies to stay alive. This kind of horror, both in Turkey and in Russia, was instituted 100% at the behest and at the machinations of these Zionist criminal Khazarian Jews.
Now, I was reading an excerpt from a book by a guy named Michael Ledeen recently. Now, Ledeen has been called a neocon, he's one of these Zionist freaks that has strong influence in the Bush administration.
Yep.
And in his book, evidently, and I was just reading an excerpt from it, but he's calling for creative destruction, he calls it, and wants the United States military power, evidently, to attack and invade Syria, the Sudan, Iran, and the American military to be used as a proxy and to destroy these things so that a new world order can be erected on the ashes of the destruction. And he calls it creative destruction. Here again, we see the slithering journey of the Ouroboros serpent.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And you'll also see them getting ensconced right now through the Shabbat Lubavitch or Lubavitch. The Lubavitchers are already in place in China. They've got their own. They've got 160 already there, and their finance men are there. The first bank that was permitted to do business from a foreign government or country was the Rothschild Bank through his Lazard Frere arm in China. No other bank has been able to do business there except him. What you'll find is that the big place that they're moving right now is they're taking control of India. Now, India has long been a Zionist stronghold. They did it through the Portuguese port of Goa. Now, they used this Portuguese port as a jumping-off point for control into Delhi and into Bombay. But right now what they're doing is they're using their Zionist seed money to build plants and bring in equipment and systems that will make, in the very near future, India become the world's predominant power. Now, they're building up India's military. They're building up. So, in other words, as you talked about this slithering beast or this slithering serpent going around the globe, let's go back in history and understand where they started. Catherine de' Medici, part of the Firenze or the Florence Medici fortune that was made through commerce out of the Aegean Sea and Venice, took her marriage with Charlemagne and brought her entourage into Paris when Paris was still a small city, very poorly built and poorly developed. Along with her, she brought her goldsmiths, who happened to be Jewish banking financiers. One of the examples of the history of this is written about in Shakespeare's Merchants of Venice, where the Shylock is the main character. And, of course, the Shylock, being a Jew, was very deeply involved in lending and borrowing and usury money. Well, she took these forces with her into Paris and got them set up there. They built France into a world-leading power under Louis XIV, XV, and XVI. When they had parasitically destroyed, used up that country, its usefulness, they left that place and went on under Oliver Cromwell's invitation back into Britain and took Britain over with their money. And you'll find today that all of the peerages, all of the royal houses of the Lords of the House of Lords are almost exclusively Jewish. Now, they've got British names, but they're Jewish-rooted families. Why? Because they bought their way into this place. This was their next jumping-off point to ensconce themselves worldwide because, as the listener knows, the sun never set on the British Empire. And so they found themselves being brought into places like New Zealand and Australia and Malaysia and Singapore and Hong Kong and India, of course, and Sri Lanka and all over Africa, Kenya, and so forth. Now, when Britain finally fell after they destroyed Europe in World War II, and it was at their hand that World War II all took place, they, and I'll give you a good example real quickly, IB Farben, of course, the largest industrial company in Germany, was never bombed in the war. They produced armaments at slave labor of Jews and homosexuals and people they didn't like, people out of favor. But the owner of IB Farben was none other than Lord Rothschild. Now, his main organizer of IB Farben during the war was a guy who's famous. He's the one that said a cow in Palestine is worth more than all the Jews in Germany. Now, this same group now, of course, is the one that transported itself after World War II to become the most powerful force in America. They parasitically left Britain and took over the United States, and from there have been destroying the world up until our modern day. America is ready to fall, Tex.
Okay, now we only have about 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes left. So here we sit, these neocon Jews are running the Bush White House, and I understand that Rothschild is also pulling the strings of John McCain, and we could go from there. In the next 2 minutes, you say the world is about ready to fall. Are they going to bring it to a conclusion here to set up their world Zionist kingdom? Are we looking World War III in the face? Are we looking at this United Nations World Food Organization to be given a total power? Are we looking for economic meltdown? In 2 minutes, and I know that's all we've got left, but what do you see happening?
We are facing the worst point in I think human history. We are facing a global shortage in food. We are seeing a global meltdown in finances that they are at their they're doing it. It's not a mistake. We're also seeing a world ramping up for an attack against Islam. So yes, World War III. So what we're going to see here is a eugenics type of program where great swaths of human population are going to be killed. Now, if that fits into your idea of the end times, then so be it. I see it as an intentional murder of countless millions of humans is on the waiting, and I see it happening rather soon. And this is why I've called for each one of your listeners to turn to and get their job done by telling others about this group and what they're doing to us.
Well, I'll tell you, of course, I do take a Christian view of the end times. But the Bible doesn't tell us to cooperate with the Antichrist in the last days to make sure he gets what he wants. The Bible tells us to occupy until Christ comes and to that we have the authority and the power to destroy the works of the devil. So we have that authority. We need to work. We need to expose things. We need to become wise with knowledge. And Daryl Bradford Smith, I want to thank you so much for being my guest today on Power of Prophecy. I hope we can do this again very soon. Again, folks, IamTheWitness.com. Go to Daryl Bradford Smith's website, and I think you'll be blessed by it. Thank you, my good friend. This is Tex Mars, dear friends. Been great to be with you again, and my prayer is you will discover the power of prophecy by tuning in each and every week here on Worldwide Christian Radio.